Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is Absolutely Everything You Need to Know for Wednesday, November 2nd, 2011. A 16-year-old Astoria high school student was arrested Monday after police say he tried to recruit his friend to carry out a shooting at the school. Peter Williams, 16, was charged with solicitation to commit murder. Police say a 15-year-old friend showed his school counselor a series of messages he'd printed out from Facebook, where Williams was trying to recruit him to participate in a shooting at the high school. The school contacted police, who arrested Williams at his home. Brad Johnson, deputy chief of the Astoria Police Department, said, "We believe that this was a serious threat and that he was serious in his attempt to enlist another party in helping him with it." Dylan Rebell, a senior at Astoria's high school, when asked for comment, said, "It's pretty scary knowing that people are doing that kind of stuff."
It's so hard to get good help these days. Really, you can't contract out for this sort of thing. This is not the this is an in-house kind of job. Seems like if you're just going outside and just trying to get a temp to do things for you, then that's just going to it's just going to end badly, kids. Have some initiative, won't you?
And choose your friends wisely.
Really?
I mean, if you're going to, if I was going to plan a murder, which I wouldn't, that you know of, I would certainly think about my acquaintances who might help me with it and then say, okay, who is A, most likely to help me with it, B, least likely to rat me out to the cops?
That's what I'm saying. Who will likely not snitch?
Yeah.
And that's the confluence. That's the X meets Y.
I have several lovely friends that I am sure.
Well, you don't want someone lovely for this, I think, by definition.
That's the problem. They are lovely friends. And if I ask them to help me kill somebody, once they ascertained that I was, you know, serious about it, they might very likely turn me into the cops.
Get you in bracelets.
And I couldn't really blame them for that. But the thing is, if you are planning the murder, pick the guy who won't snitch.
Or just, you know, whatever happened to doing something oneself, huh?
Yeah, really. Just do it.
Yeah.
I mean, don't do it, because it would be wrong. But
that's Dawn Taylor who said just do it, by the way. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. It is Wednesday, November 2nd, 2011. Thank you for coming by. If you want to get this program later on the day, you can do that via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or at legionofnews.com. You can also take it with you on your mobile device. That's mobile.cascadia.fm. That is mobile.cascadia.fm and whatnot. Here's Dawn Taylor.
Nearly 100 neglected cats and two dogs were rescued from what Oregon Humane Society officials called a...
Two dogs. It's an abomination.
From what...
And then other things as well?
Well, I like what... Yeah, 100 cats.
Oh.
Yeah.
Two dogs?
But it was from what Humane Society officials called a potential hoarding house.
Potential. They were. It was the starter kit.
Yeah. They only had 100 cats.
Well.
So really, they'd only barely scratched the surface.
Yeah.
The OHS spokesperson, whose name was David Little, said, "Lots of urine, lots of feces. We're just glad those animals aren't in those conditions anymore."
Okay.
The rescue team took in 95 cats, which is nearly 100 cats. I don't know why you have to go immediately to the headline, nearly 100 cats. Like
95 seems like a lot.
Like 95 isn't impressive
enough.
That's a substantial
amount. You have to bump
it.
Yeah.
95 cats and the dogs from the home of a woman on Southeast Foster who had been under investigation for the past year. The animals began arriving at OHS for evaluation and treatment. Dr. Chris Ottoman said, "We're seeing a lot of respiratory illness, seeing a lot of fleas, lack of food, malnutrition." OHS said officers visited the house several times since May of last year, noting evidence of neglected cats inside and out the property and a strong odor of feces and urine. One witness said there was a cat, quote, "with its eyes sticking out and a bloody tail," unquote.
Its eyes sticking out. What does that even mean?
I don't know, but its eye was sticking out.
Okay.
In the house, along with several malnourished cats on the property, neighbor Mary Gurdon said, "It's really sad."
Where in Foster?
Damascus. Just way, way out. Because Damascus
out
is way the hell out there.
Out where the buses don't run?
Yeah.
Where
you can have 100 cats. And it takes them from May until the 1st of November to finally decide that it's too many.
Oh, that's at the bottom of the pile of things to do.
But they have to visit several times before they decide that the smell of urine and feces has just gone too far.
Except they've finished power washing the blood off your neighbor's sidewalks and whatever else there's to do in that part of town. You're listening to Legion of News. Hello and howdy.
Hiya.
Coming up later in this hour, entertainment news and science on the march and the usual, you know, travesties of intelligence and poor taste. Here's Dawn Taylor.
Would you hand me the the paper, please?
God,
please.
Fine.
It will enable me to do my job more efficiently.
All right.
Thank you.
Just take a moment here.
I'm ready to go. I just needed the papers.
All right.
Public nudists in San Francisco will have to cover up in certain situations under legislation given unanimous initial approval Tuesday by the Board of Supervisors. The proposal, introduced by Supervisor Scott Wiener, prohibits public nudity in restaurants and outlaws sitting on benches or other public seating in the city without placing clothing or other material atop the seat first. What's so funny? Wiener said when reading of the legislation at Tuesday afternoon's board meeting.
Really?
And he was met by laughter.
He actually said that?
He said, what's so funny about this?
Okay.
The proposal made international headlines because of its only in San Francisco nature and even led to a prank by Wiener's colleague, Supervisor Sean Ellsburn, who left a napkin on his seat before a board meeting. They're wacky. Wiener said Tuesday that despite the legislation being the butt of jokes and the press being obsessed with it, the public sanitation problems were a tangible issue, primarily affecting Jane Warner Plaza and elsewhere in the Castro, a neighborhood in his district where public nudists often congregate.
Is Jane Warner Plaza like an unclean woman from the area?
I'm sure whoever Jane Warner was or is, she's proud that her name is on a plaza where public nudists congregate.
Where human stank seems to be an issue.
The ordinance was approved by all 11 supervisors, saying, yes, please, put a towel down on a seat before you sit on it.
We're tired of our city being taken seriously.
And we'll return to the board for final approval at next week's meeting.
Okay. Well, we get to hear more of Mr. Wiener's attempts to make himself a YouTube celebrity.
Yes.
Okay.
The lawyer for one of the women accusing GOP presidential candidate Herman Cain of sexual harassment reportedly was trying to get, was originally trying to get out of her confidentiality agreement to keep quiet. Legal analyst Paul Callan said the deal requires all parties to remain pretty tight-lipped.
Sometimes there's a crafted statement both parties can say.
Oh, I'm sorry, so to speak.
There was a case and it was resolved. But nobody can say whether there was merit to the claim or lack of merit to the claim.
So you can say that it's either an open case or a closed case or a shut case or whatever. You can't say that bitch crazy.
Yeah.
Because that then seems to be disparaging one of the parties. Or and then he was just constantly waving his penis all over and hitting me in the head with it. Because that implies a sort of a substance to the claim.
And I was trying to find the story because I had read this earlier this morning. The woman actually has said now that she's that the spokespeople who came out and said she was going to go public may have jumped the gun a little bit, because really she said she was still just thinking about it. She hadn't actually, she herself said, yes, I'm going to go out and tell everyone. Well, maybe. And so somebody kind of leapt to conclusion.
She's considering it. Call everyone.
Yeah. Legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin explains what's in the That's a hard word to say.
Confidentiality?
Yes.
You're right.
What's in the confidentiality agreement?
The only one who really suffers from that clause would be the woman, because...
Wait, what cut is this? Two?
I got the wrong one. Callan says breaking this deal without permission could be costly.
The only one who really suffers from that clause would be the woman, because if she got $35,000 in settlement, she could forfeit the entire settlement or a percentage of the settlement if she violates the confidentiality agreement and talks.
Seriously, I would let that guy come slap me around with his penis right now for $35,000.
Yeah, I mean...
For half that, probably.
That's kind of the whole point of buying someone off, is they won't talk.
Well, I was thinking that's the whole point of letting someone slap you with a penis.
That too.
And get sister get paid.
Yeah. Legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin explains what's in the confidentiality agreement.
The agreement says if you breach this, you have to give whatever money we gave you back. And obviously she, even though it's many years later, especially since it's many years later, she doesn't want to give that money back. That's the risk she runs in breaching it.
Does Jeffrey Toobin sound a lot like Peter Carlin when he's on the phone?
A little bit, yeah. There. Only a little less, inappropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So according to the story, the Washington Post had cited an unnamed person who knows the woman in question and reported that she is having second thoughts because of the potential ramifications of her name becoming public. And then also, I'm sure, because it means that she'd have to give the money back, which she probably doesn't have anymore. The woman in question did not create this story, the source told the paper, adding the woman has been completely swept up in this hurricane. She's a federal employee, and her husband is a registered lobbyist, according to the source. And she really, I guess, does not want you know, to be publicly involved in all of this.
Let's listen to little Jeffrey Toobin here.
The agreement says if you breach this, you have to give whatever money we gave you back.
All right, now let's hear a little Peter Carlin.
I was doing that thing where you stick your fingers in the hole and kind of diddle around the thing that hangs inside.
Yeah, they sound very similar.
Peter Carlin, also strange. You're sounding like Herman Cain there, allegedly.
Frank Taylor, a former Burger King executive who worked with Cain in the 80s, says he had plenty of chances to see Cain in social settings and never saw him do or say anything inappropriate.
He would occasionally go to happy hour with the region's staff. I traveled with him to various meetings and conferences with franchisees and other Burger King employees.
Things of this nature.
And I can honestly say that I never saw Herman Cain do anything that I would consider to be inappropriate.
I was always too drunk, personally.
Meanwhile, Cain himself was slated to take questions today after a speech to healthcare professionals, but ultimately refused and left the Washington area event through a back door. And told reporters, I'm here to visit with these doctors, and that's what I'm going to talk about, so don't even bother asking me all these other questions that you're all curious about, okay? Don't even bother. And then the press, of course, continued asking questions.
That's hard to believe.
And then finally he just started saying, what did I say? Excuse me. What part of no don't you people understand?
Don't make me get the belt.
Yes.
Let's do one more comparison here. I give you Jeffrey Toobin.
The agreement says if you breach this, you have to give whatever money we gave you.
And then I give you Portland writer and author of numerous books and biographies, Peter Carlin.
Bitches ain't nothing but hoes and tricks.
There you go. It's uncanny, really. I mean, when you think about it, really, it's just...
They may actually be the same guy.
It's astonishing.
Mm.
All right. So this is when he was working for what? This is when he was working for Godfathers or for
something like that, yeah.
Something, because that's what that's the place he ran for like 20 years or 15 years or something like that. All right.
Okay.
So, well, this means that it's going to be another... we have many more weeks of entertainment unfolding in front of us, because it seems like somebody would have just made a definitive declaration already if there wasn't going to be anything going forward here. Like, if her people weren't going to be pushing for... Well, I don't even know what she would be getting at this point, except maybe the grim satisfaction of having him be a guy that is known to put his hand in your pants.
Well, she's having second thoughts about talking about it. I think it's fairly obvious that this was something somebody dug up, and that it was most likely not her idea to bring it public in the first place. You know, the man is a potential, you know, Republican presidential candidate. So somebody went around and said, so let's see, let's go through the usual things. Did he ever pay off anybody for sexual harassment? Why, looky here.
I wonder if there's a checklist at this point that they've developed after, you know, years of Nixon and Clinton. Ever have any enemies killed and put in the landfill? No? Are you sure?
Secret bank accounts? No secret bank accounts.
Okay, let's see. Discuss his pubic hair at great, like, really? Okay, chink, you know, just check it off the list. All right. You're listening to Legion of News here at... let me just one more just to amuse myself.
You could touch it.
There we go. Not enough Peter Carlin in this world
right now. We need to have him back. I miss the Peter Carlin.
I don't know. He's locked himself in like a small tool shed and he's writing some book. So, as one
you
does.
You think he'd want out of the tool shed occasionally to talk about bitches and hoes.
Well, so you would think. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us later on this hour. Science news, entertainment of the march, and things of that nature. Here's Don Taylor.
9 people were taken to the hospital after a carbon monoxide leak at a Northeast Portland church. It happened Tuesday night at the Northeast Baptist Church at 6701 Northeast Prescott. Firefighters say people at the church turned on the furnace for the first time this winter, and several of them began to feel dizzy. 9 of the 15 people inside the church were taken to the hospital. Their condition was not known Tuesday night. The other 6 were checked out by emergency responders at the scene. Firefighters say the carbon monoxide inside the church had reached potentially deadly levels. Large fans were brought in to air out the building. Church pastor Don Hansen says they plan to have the furnace checked out on Wednesday morning. He said, something is obviously amiss, so we're going to get it corrected as soon as we can.
I would imagine that is the case. What sort of furnace is it?
I don't know, but whatever it is, it gave off enough carbon monoxide to make people sick. So,
what kind of a furnace gives off carbon monoxide? I wouldn't think that that's a...
Heating and cooling is not my field.
No,
I don't know. In fact, we just fired up... We just realized a few days ago that we've been living in this place since April, and we didn't really have any idea how to use the thermostat.
Isn't it just a dial on the wall that you turn?
No, it's a digital thermostat.
Oh, like the one here. Yeah.
And so I had to go online and figure out which model it was because there was no model number on it. So I'm just going to Google and going, Honeywell round digital thermostat, until I finally found a picture of it and then was able to find the manual so I could find the instructions on how to use it.
Press the wrong button and the house explodes.
Because it's like 34 degrees at night in Portland here now, and we needed us some heat.
Not to be this guy, but it was really cold last night. That was a thing that I did not expect. I left the house at like midnight to go to the store, and it was that you walk outside and it's like someone just kind of went right in the side of the face, and you kind of go, ugh.
You had to scrape ice off my window for the first time this season.
Oh,
today.
Sorry. Another 10 inches of snow in Colorado. Blah, blah, blah.
Somebody, by the way, somebody emailed yesterday and said they really would like to start seeing some photos of Seamus's lair because they hear about he's like in the mountains, snowed in his giant beanbag chair, surrounded by wolves. And they'd really like to actually see photos of Seamus's.
Because I think he works in the basement, too. So it's just, it's like this ectoplasmic, chair, beanbag, blob thing that he sits in, and then he's just surrounded, by like monitors floating in space. As I see it, just sort of suspended in midair. Yes, apparently it's 29 degrees there, and he got 10 inches of snow last night, which is added to the 10 inches of snow the night before. So I myself will be in Cancun next week.
Well, and that brings me to my next story, which is a special weather statement issued by the National Weather Service warned of snow levels in the mountains of Southwest Washington and Northwest Oregon dropping dramatically. KGW meteorologist Nick Allard, who knows his stuff, let me tell you, not really, said the large cold front pushing its way inland Wednesday was to blame, and it will change the pattern quite a bit. Basically, they're saying that there's likely to be 3 to 6 inches of fresh snow around 3,000 to 5,000 feet in the mountains.
I don't know what that means. Where is that? Where is 3,000 to 5,000 feet? Is that here? Is it in the West Hills? Is it in the sky?
It's in the actual mountains. So it's like if you're going through government camp at this point, you may end up having to put on chains or something if you're going over the pass. Like you're going from Portland to Bend, and you have to like go way up high into the mountains and go over to get like back down again over to Bend.
Seems like if you have to drive through the mountains, that's that really is a choice that removes you from the category of people for whom I feel sympathy.
And so, yet sometimes you gotta.
Well, I suppose that is true. Yeah. Sometimes you gotta go to Bend.
That's true. Timberline Lodge ski area is already reporting 2 inches of snow on the ground yesterday morning. The city of Portland did a test run with its snow plows yesterday. City vehicles were inspected after getting fitted with chains, plows, and sanders. Then they were taken on a dry run to prepare for the winter season. The city also tested new de-icing equipment that authorities promised would be easier on area roads than some of the old rigs that we've been using, most of which dated back to the 1970s.
Well, it seems like snow is snow, though. It's not like we had different snow in the 70s than now. And so when you say going through the mountains, you just mean like if you just have to go over the pass to wherever, not like if you're just deciding to drive to the top of the mountain.
No.
Like just to amuse yourself.
Right.
Okay.
But sometimes you do have to go through those passes, and the passes and the foothills are getting like a dusting, and the upper elevations are actually going to get... Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's been snowing, like, at the 10,000-foot level, but now it's dropping down to around 3,000 feet.
See, so I guess if you have to drive to, Bend or some damn place, and there's, you don't have a hovercraft, then I guess that's what you do. But it's like, if you just decide, what should we do? I don't know, let's drive to Timberland, you go to the Timberline Lodge, ignoring the fact that it's on top of a huge, huge snow-covered, jagged, pointy rock. That then seems like you're just asking for a little bit of trouble.
Of interest, weather forecasters locally, met over the weekend for their annual What Will Winter Look Like conference at the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry.
Will it look like overreaction?
It's like,
How about disproportionate fear?
I think that's where they play. What will we call it? Okay, we've already used Snowmageddon, Snowpocalypse. What will we call it? Winter Blast 2012.
Don't forget they used Snowlandia.
Snowlandia.
Last year.
They predicted that a La Nina system will bring a cool, wet winter to the area, they said. But the thing about our local forecasters in Portland is they generally are guessing at what's going to happen like 3 days out.
Yeah.
So I don't believe anything that they came up with at the What Will Winter Look Like conference is even going to be remotely accurate.
Here's the other thing. That's not really just here. That's just weather people in general. Weather people don't know what they're talking about. They're always making things up. They're just guessing. They do, in my experience, they do no better than like the average knucklehead would do if you just had him look out the window and guess at what it's going to be like.
Recently, I have found it fascinating. Nobody has ever called weather forecasters on the fact that they tell us this. They will say definitively, this is what's going to happen. And they're lying because they don't know definitively that that's what's going to happen. But every single night they're on TV saying, and then 2 days from now, it's going to be sunny and warm. And then it's not. And it's like, if regular news people were going on and saying that there was going to be an event or an election or some kind of thing was going to happen, and routinely it did not actually happen, they would get in a whole lot of trouble for that. We would call shenanigans.
Probably not, because I think people tend to disregard. I think people don't remember incorrect guesses. I think people remember correct guesses.
I mean, we all have that friend who just says, in fact, I'm often that friend, who says, sure, I'll be at the party, and then they never show up.
Right.
You know, and then you realize they always say, yeah, I'll definitely be there, and you realize like 3 out of 5 times they won't. So you just kind of go, yeah, maybe you'll be here, but they always say, no, I'll definitely be there. I've got it written down. I'll plan. And we decide that person is a flake, and we don't take them seriously anymore.
But if you made some big outlandish prediction and then it came true the next day, that's the thing that people would remember.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the same thing with like palm readers.
Right.
So and we all know that they're charlatans. So why don't we as a society tell weather people that they have to say it will likely be sunny?
They should have to put a disclaimer on it. There should have to be like, they should have to run a thing at the bottom of the screen that does not actually know what he's talking about.
It looks like it'll probably be raining tomorrow.
May just be fabricating all of this.
Yeah, you know, instead of saying for sure.
Weather may have come out of this man's ass.
Speaking of which, let's do our science. Not of asses, but
really?
of weather, of forecastings and things.
Are we going to be forecasting science. The weather and science?
Maybe.
Okay.
You'll just have to wait and see.
I say now it's science. When you do it, it's science.
Yes.
When they do it, it's... All right, here's your Science on the March for... There we go. Science on the March for Wednesday, November 2nd, 2011.
China's unmanned spacecraft Shenzhou 8 blasted off Tuesday morning in the latest step in what will be a decade-long effort by the country to place a manned permanent space station in orbit, after which we will all be doomed. The spacecraft took off from a base in the far western city of Jiuquan, the official Xinhua news agency said. Minutes later, Changwon Quan, who leads China's space program, announced the launch a success. China launched its own space program after being rebuffed in its attempt to join the 16-nation International Space Station, largely on objections from the United States. The U.S. is wary of the Chinese program's military links and the sharing of technology with its chief economic and political competitor. Earlier Chinese news reports did not specify a launch date for Shenzhou 8. Chinese space officials rarely speak to foreign media. The Shenzhou 8 will attempt to dock with an experimental module, carrying out maneuvers to couple with the module that's now in orbit. The 8.5-ton boxcar-sized module that's currently in orbit launched last month. Following Shenzhou 8, more missions, at least 2 of them manned, are to meet up with the module next year for further practice, with astronauts staying for up to 1 month.
I have no observation here about the Chinese space program, but I will make this observation that my Soviet Bob Dylan cover band is called Like a Rolling Stone.
Okay.
There you go.
So if you walk into an Apple store somewhere, as I know you're wont to do, Mr. Emerson.
Yes, indeed.
You're likely to find yourself wading through a crowd and sometimes waiting for assistance. A new app due out tomorrow for iOS 5 will help streamline some of your visits and save time for customers and ease the crunch on store employees. Among the app's features, as reported by the Boy Genius Report, which I don't know what that is.
Is that in Grit Magazine?
I don't know, but they're citing a trusted source. Says the app will include self-checkout. When you're in the store and you find an item you want to buy, launch the Apple Store app on your device, and there's an option to buy the item right then and there. You can scan it on your camera, click purchase, and it will charge whatever credit card is associated with your Apple ID, and then you'll just be able to walk out the store
with it. Wait, so this happens at...
At the store.
At Apple retail locations?
Right.
Okay, so I can just see a thing and go, I want this. And then it just charges me for it, and then
yes.
I can just leave?
Yes.
Hmm.
Online order and in-store pickup. Apple, taking a cue from other retailers like Walmart and Best Buy, will expand the program, which has been going on in some of its stores, to all of its stores. So you can order something online and then just go pick it up at the store and you don't have to wait. You can also return online orders in Apple stores, which would be very handy for people who want a quicker refund and don't want to deal with having to send products back through the mail. And also, it will offer in-store order and then pick up in 12 minutes for a product in stock at the store. Instead, the significance of the 12 minutes is the order goes through the system to the designated Apple store in about 3 minutes. Apple's back-of-the-house employees have 2 minutes to set all of the products aside on a shelf from the minute it was ordered.
Go! Go! Faster!
Then there's a 7-minute grace period for the employees to get everything else in order. About 12 minutes after purchasing, you'll be able to walk into the store, skip lines, skip registers, get your product, sign for it, and leave.
That's fantastic. I should be able to do that everywhere. I should be able to go to go online to Safeway and just say, I need Cheetos set aside stat, and then just be able to walk in and just walk out with them.
I used to order groceries from Safeway just so they would come deliver them, because I figured it was worth like $5 or whatever it cost extra for me to like not have to get in my car and drive to Safeway and walk around and shop. It was actually quite convenient.
Yeah,
I realized I was just being super super lazy.
Yeah, and I'm cheap enough that I won't do that. But I would like to avoid talking to people whenever possible or having to stand in line. Standing in line is the worst thing.
It is very very nice to have a guy just come to your house and goes, "Here's your food." just give you groceries.
That gives me just weird, and I get Cosmo.com flashbacks.
Prostate cancer, one of the most common types of modern malignancies, did affect the ancient Egyptians, according to a radiological investigation of a 2,200-year-old mummy. Kept at the National Archaeology Museum of Lisbon and cataloged as M1, the unnamed wrapped Ptolemaic mummy was adorned with a cartonnage mask, which I don't know what that is, and bib, and boasted an elaborately painted shroud. The mummy is that of an adult male. Carlos Prates, a radiologist, said, a view further justified by the preserved male perineal anatomy and an obvious mummified penis. They said the man was about 5'5" tall, was between 51 and 60 years old when he died a slow, painful death. The researchers subjected the mummy to a multi-detector computerized tomography scan. The specially designed protocol produced really unusual high-quality images, they said. Digital x-ray showed that M1 had been buried with crossed arms, which is a common pose in Ptolemaic mummies, and suffered from lumbosacral osteoarthritis, which was probably related to a lower lumbar scoliosis. Several post-mortem fractures, possibly produced by mishandling when the mummy was transported to Europe, afflicted the body.
Or just being really unpopular when he was alive.
Yeah.
He's dead. I was going to kick. He's going to send me into exile now, big man.
But they also found a pattern of round and dense tumors interspersed throughout his pelvis and lumbar spine. The researchers wrote the bone lesions were considered very suggestive of metastatic prostate cancer.
Well, they didn't have the Spice Channel.
And so the earliest diagnosis of metastatic prostate carcinoma came in 2007 when researchers investigated the skeleton of a 27-year-old Scythian king who died in the steppes of southern Siberia. And so between that one and the Egyptian mummy, they are now absolutely positive that cancer did exist in antiquity, definitely in ancient Egypt. The reason for scarcity of examples found today might be the lower prevalence of carcinogens and the shorter life expectancy.
So do they think we made cancer up, like in a lab or something, that Dow Corning invented it?
I don't know. I mean, maybe there was some belief that it just didn't really actually exist until, like, a few hundred years ago or something, because, I don't know.
27 seems like a young age to be dying of cancer, even for Egyptians.
Yeah.
You know, and they're a frail people.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Maybe he lived... No, I don't know. BlackBerry users now have their own music sharing app.
We can just call that user.
This story delights me.
BlackBerry users.
BlackBerry has launched a music sharing app.
That's great.
For the BlackBerry.
Good for them.
For a monthly subscription for $4.99.
Well done.
New users, meaning those who haven't been using the service for beta or testing mode, RIM is offering a 60-day trial period. The program is available from BlackBerry App World to U.S. and Canadian users, but it still might take up to 24 hours to show up on your device. With the app, you can choose up to 50 songs a month to add to your phone from their catalog. which has music from millions of songs from Universal Music Group, Sony, Warner, blah, 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 blah. After downloading the app, you choose 50 songs, which will automatically be shared with your BBM Music friends. The songs that you're...
Which you will have none,
yeah,
by the way. That'll just be you and the other BlackBerry that also is at your house that they gave you to try to compensate for the fact that your service has been down.
The songs that your friends select become part of your BBM music library, too.
I don't want my
friends' music on my phone.
No.
I'm sorry. So, like he says, for example, if you have 25 BBM music friends... And you know you will, because we all have so many friends who use BlackBerries, and each has 50 songs, your library could increase to 1,300 songs.
I feel so bad. Part of me feels really bad making fun of BlackBerry, because I had a BlackBerry for years, and I loved it. And really, there was this long... That's what makes it so unforgivable. They just had the most massive lead, and then they just... It's like they actively just went to work every day, just seeing, like, how can we blow this decade lead that we had have over everybody? How can we just make sure that we... How can we dissolve any and all advantages that we currently possess as a company?
Atlantic Wire, the online service for the magazine Atlantic, calls the program, quote, a very sad music service.
Yes.
That is among the least enticing in the streaming music world. Also noting the 50-song per account plan for $4.99 a month is the least free option out there. To lure listeners, all the players offer a free subscription tier. The options aren't really free, but the service is trying to distract them from the ads and such. But it's like, you know, the idea is to make the service seem good enough to try, but this isn't.
Can I get it for my BlackBerry Playbook as well? Can I get it for my... Can I please, just for the... since I have, like, another... I just read the other day, I now have apparently another, not I, but I mean alternate universe I, where I own a BlackBerry tablet. I now have another year to wait before I'll have a native email application for it, because why would you possibly want a BlackBerry tablet that just comes with email? That's a frill is what that is. That's expecting too much.
Yeah.
Apparently, though, they do offer a series of mechanisms by which if I have a BlackBerry tablet and I want to, you know, do something crazy like, I don't know, message somebody or send any sort of communique, I can tether it to my BlackBerry phone. Hook them together, and then I can use that to send an email. Unless, of course, my BlackBerry phone has a dying battery, in which case my tablet then becomes useless again. Well done.
Researchers at the Max Planck Institute of Psychiatry in Munich, Germany, were recently had done some research in which they were able to compare brain activity of lucid dreamers as they consciously entertained the same thoughts while sleeping and while awake. Lucid dreamers are people who, besides being actively aware of their dream state while sleeping, can also deliberately manipulate their dreams, a learned skill that is very useful in dream research. Researcher Michael Sissage said, "The main obstacle in studying specific dream content is that spontaneous dream activity cannot be experimentally controlled, as subjects typically cannot perform pre-decided mental actions during sleep. Employing the skill of lucid dreaming can help overcome those obstacles." For the study, six lucid dreamers were asked to sleep in a functional magnetic resonance an MRI machine, so blood flow to regions of the brain could be monitored. Once asleep, they were asked to confirm their lucid dream state with a series of eye movements. They were then asked to purposely dream as they were clenching their fists. Researchers found that brain activity during the lucid dreaming of this task was similar to brain activity of the same task performed while subjects were awake. However, brain activity during sleep was weaker. So they said, "Our dreams are therefore not a sleep cinema in which we merely observe an event passively, but involve activity in the regions of the brain that are relevant to the dream content."
Yeah, this is one of those things that they always... Everybody knew somebody in high school that was always talking about lucid dreaming, and it just becomes irritating after a while. I don't want to hear how you can fly in your dream. No one cares. Just keep it to yourself. If you can fly, have at it. Don't bother the rest with it.
Also, I've had these people where they talk about they can dream in color, and I'm, like, not sure what that means, because I've had dreams where, like, I certainly knew that things were certain colors, but it's not like I can really tell. I don't think I can really tell the difference when I'm awake of whether it was like everything.
Well, if you can remember your dream, you can remember what it looked like to some degree. So, well, psychopaths, for example, and sociopaths dream in black and white typically. So that's one of the. So it is not like a default setting for people to dream in color.
I had a roommate once who he came out one morning and told us that he had had a dream the night before that had been nothing but geometric shapes.
Was he blind?
And we all just kind of looked at him for a long time and just thought about that and went, I mean, there were no people or anything. He said, no, it was just nothing but geometric.
But he wasn't like a blind guy or anything.
No.
Because strangely enough, so blind people often dream in just geometric shapes.
Oh.
Because they'll have them sort of sketch out to whatever degree possible what they dream. Because I've always had that question. The question that I had for the longest time was, if you have always been blind, what do you dream about? And so they've done some studies on this where they have found that they dream about very basic geometric shapes, implying that to some degree those are hardwired as recognized patterns in the human mind.
I'm far less interested in the what and wherefore of human dreaming as I am of dog dreaming. I want to know what dogs are dreaming about. I want to know how elaborate they
Jeez.
Are and what's going on. Because my dog will just start barking. And making and growling. It seems very much like she's dreaming about something very adventurous in which she is being very heroic. But I'd like to know what it is.
I don't know, defending you from maybe a giant, like a giant befooted sausage
maybe.
That's running around the house or something. Or maybe she's dreaming about a tasty postman who's dangling just inches out of reach.
My previous dog, I used to take food. Like, if I had some food, like sausages or things that had a really nice odor to it, and if the dog was sleeping, I'd, like, sort of wave it near her face while she was sleeping and then watch her start to twitch and like, smack her lips. And I felt like seeing if I could make her actually dream about food.
You shouldn't tell people that you did things, quote, just to watch your dog twitch. And that's going to get you put in a small room. By the way, so somebody... I should go back on the BlackBerry thing for a second, because why not? Because how long could they possibly be around in the future for us to make fun of? This is a great observation. Someone says, my dad is the only person I know with a BlackBerry. Because he is familiar with the interface, it has become the AOL of phones. That really is...
yeah.
And that is very much the... That is very much the case. Also, I'm looking at this... The most recent interview with Patrick Spencer's he's their like global marketing sales guy there. Although I think he handles the overseas stuff because BlackBerry itself, I believe they are they're based in Canada, and I could be wrong about this, but I'm almost certain that they actually literally the BlackBerry is based in Waterloo, which is sort of awesome. He says, quote, this is just the beginning of the article. His research in motion limited is absolutely, quote, absolutely confident, end quote, in its Playbook tablet despite disappointing sales and aims to appeal to customers already hooked on its BlackBerry smartphone. Patrick Spence, managing director for global sales and regional marketing, says the company has not been as clear as it could have been in defining the target audience for the devices. RIM's focus now, he said, is trying to convince existing BlackBerry users to consider the Playbook. We still could have done a better job of appealing directly to those customers, he said. Now we've got to do the whole finding more of them thing.
Well, at least their marketing goals are clear.
Finding more of them. In fact, then he says later again, what we have to do is we have to try to approach more of them. I like the idea that then he scales it down further, like in the same article from like... Then it's like you have to work on the approach, not even the actual selling or closing the deal, just getting the nerve to walk up to the girl at the dance and go, I have this tablet that doesn't have native email and can't message. Would you let, hello? You know, and just trying to break the ice. The company's focus, he said, is targeting these 70 million BlackBerry subscribers around the world and saying, this is the tablet for you, which almost sounds like a sad declaration, like a punishment of some kind, like it's a sentence that's being handed down. Here you go. This is your tablet. Enjoy.
This is all you're worth. This is all you get.
Then they say, BlackBerry, quote, this is just sad. BlackBerry faces, quote, stiff competition from Apple's iPad, which they then add almost as an aside to, they say, which has 84% of the market.
Yeah.
That is stiff competition.
That certainly is, yes.
All right.
I just have this image in my head of their, like, you know, top marketing guys getting together and the guy pointing, you know, doing like a PowerPoint presentation and saying, okay, here's our new strategy. And he like pulls up the thing and it says, get more people to buy stuff.
Yeah. You know, I had the, I was still a BlackBerry user when they unveiled App World, which really is, I mean, and it's one of those products that comes out and it's like the day it hits shelves, it seems like it's about, you know, 7 or 8 years behind what everybody else is doing. So it almost feels cruel to pile on to BlackBerry, but I mean, you can't not.
But I mean, honestly, at this point in 2011, saying they've unveiled their music service, it's kind of like, you know, next week, BlackBerry debuts touchscreen.
Seriously. Well, Never mind. I'm gonna. Okay. I'll pull back because otherwise it's just gonna become.
That's all the signs.
There you go. We'll just end there with the low-hanging fruit, et cetera, et cetera. There's your Science on the March. Coming up later in this hour, you got your entertainment news and so forth. Next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program at rickemersonshow.com. Today, Geek Watch, Clown Watch, and a Taser Watch. That is all coming up next hour. And this afternoon, 4 p.m. Pacific time here at Cascadia.fm. Dawn Taylor can be heard alongside Bobby Fatboy Roberts with another installment of Ham-Fisted Radio.
Yes,
and
sir.
Later on at hamfistedradio.com.
So this is a Dateline Anaheim, California. A parolee is accused of sneaking into a couple's home on Halloween night and touching a woman in bed as she slept next to her husband. Officials said a violent fight erupted inside the bedroom as the husband tried to subdue the intruder. After the struggle, the couple realized the intruder was the same man who had snuck into a party at their home 2 weeks earlier. Jim Amermino, a spokesman for the Sheriff's Department, said, "There was a pretty good fight in there until he subdued the subject. This had to have been a frightening experience." When deputies arrived, both the husband and wife told deputies the man had walked into a party in their home 2 weeks earlier, but no one at the time was sure if he had accompanied one of the guests. The suspect, identified by sheriff's officials as Christopher David Schwenke, 36, was acting oddly at the party, and the husband kicked him out. Schwenke then dropped his pants and exposed himself to guests, saying, "Look at my mangina!" No one at the party, however, reported the incident to authorities. On Halloween, they had spotted him walking around the neighborhood at 7:30 p.m. The husband approached the man and tried to find out who he was. Schwenke allegedly said he was in the neighborhood to meet a female friend. Then that evening, Halloween, the couple was asleep in their bedroom when the woman felt someone touching her. She first thought it was her husband. When she realized it wasn't, the couple was
started. Wait a minute. This is a mangina. Ted!
They found Schwenke hiding on the floor near the bed. There's a picture of him, by the way. We do have his mugshot.
Really?
Yes.
See, when he says, "Look at my mangina," is there any explanation as to why he said that?
Not really, no.
Because you don't picture that kind of... This isn't the sort of thing that happens a lot in Anaheim. Really, nothing happens in Anaheim.
People go to Disneyland and they get shot in cowboy bars. That's pretty much all that happens in Anaheim.
It really is just Magic Mountain and forming punk bands. Yeah. That's kind of it.
But yeah, he actually looks a little bit like a young Gary Busey. After being in a fight with a guy.
Yeah, I would say that doesn't lessen the.
Apparently, he lives in Huntington Beach, which doesn't make it clear why he was in Anaheim and why he was in their bedroom. He's being held on suspicion of burglary and. Oh God, he's being held on suspicion of burglary, and digital penetration with a foreign object.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah, she said she was being touched.
Well, how is it digital penetration with a foreign object?
I'm just saying that's what it says. Digital penetration with a foreign object.
Because digital is your hand.
Right.
Does that mean... Well, of course it would be digital because the thing isn't going to insert itself.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying...
Or are his fingers the foreign object?
Or maybe digital penetration is a crime, and then they had to say, but what if they use a pencil? And they had to
What if he has a pair of ladies' gloves on?
Well, they had to just change digital penetration with a foreign.
What if he's wearing some sort of a power glove?
It's technically digital penetration, but, you know, he's using an Otter Pop.
Okay.
Anyway.
Let's see. Oh, he does look like a little bit like one of the... Well, and he looks also a little bit like... I can't quite place it. There's Gary Busey and... But yeah, that guy, if he was, Gary Busey, if he was early 30s and, shirtless.
A little bit like Jake Busey, only with less teeth.
I was going to say Jake Busey,
smaller
too,
teeth.
Except, yeah, but Jake Busey has that whole John Elway face going on.
Yeah.
He's all Mr. Ed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Okay.
So you can see that on the thing.
Yeah, if you want to.
Yeah. Spartanburg County, South Carolina Sheriff Chuck Wright has stirred up controversy by recommending that women apply for concealed handgun permits after a woman was attacked in his community over the weekend. Wright says it's frustrating to see repeat offenders roaming the streets.
What is this called?
South Carolina.
South Carolina.
I'm really tired of looking at some of these women that we have to tell. We've had this gentleman in our criminal justice system over 20 times and we couldn't do anything with him. And we're sorry they're back out on the street raping you.
Oh, God!
Well, he did... Well, look.
Oh, my God!
An apology is a good first step. I mean... What do you want him to say? we're doing cartwheels about it, Don. It's a thing to which we're totally indifferent. It seems only right.
Sorry about the raping. Oh, he looks exactly like you would imagine him. He would look, too. There's that guy. Look at him.
Wow. You're right.
Sort of doughy, sad sack face with a big cop mustache.
Well, he's like a fat version of Higgins from Magnum P.I.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Sorry about the digital penetration with a foreign object.
Yeah, he suggested that women get a .45 caliber weapon because, quote, you don't have to be accurate, you just have to be close.
I'm tired of people who feel like the form of justice that we have now is working because it's proof positive that it doesn't. He's been in the system 20 times since 1983, and it's pretty apparent that he's not going to get the message.
So is his thing that he's upset about the raping, like in and of itself, or is it just the paperwork involved with having to arrest this guy like 80 times or something over the course of 4 years?
There was an attempted rape of a woman in a park on Sunday.
Sorry.
And I guess the guy has been in jail before and has been released. And so at a press conference, he basically came out and said, well, you know what you ladies can do if you don't want to get raped? Carry a gun.
Well, who can disagree?
You can carry a gun while jogging, he said.
And
actually displayed a fanny pack that showed how you could conceal a handgun in a fanny pack while you were out in public.
It is telling, by the way, that he's asking them to carry concealed weapons, not open weapons, indicating that he's not... I mean, I'm not saying he's not concerned with their safety, but it seems like he is equally concerned with not having to process this guy's prints like an 81st time. Because if he had an open carry permit, maybe the guy sees you and says, shall I rape her? Uno, a gun. Let me find somebody else. You have a concealed carry. That means maybe he starts the raping, and then it ends when you shoot him in the face.
Right.
And then everyone's day is a little bit easier.
Everyone's a winner.
Hold on a second. Let's just one more time.
I'm really tired of looking at some of these women that we have to tell. We've had this gentleman in our criminal justice system over 20 times, and we couldn't do anything with him. And we're sorry they're back out on the street raping you.
Oh, God. Oh. Okay. It's not terribly onerous to get a concealed weapons permit in South Carolina, by the way. It's you have to be over 21, not be prohibited from owning a weapon, obviously. You have to have, like, ID, a proof of residency.
Not like the raping.
You have to have, like, you know, good enough vision. Yeah, background check, and then you have to take, like, an 8-hour training course, and it costs $50. And then you can carry a concealed weapon. So, ladies, get on that. Because the guys are just getting back out of jail and making with the raping.
Snatching your people up.
Yeah.
I want to hear this guy doing the auto-tune, the raping everybody. It's noted here that someone says, I like that he calls the guy a gentleman rapist.
Yes.
Such as the kind that wears the top hat and cleans up when he's done and bows at the door.
Oh, hello. Excuse me, man.
Pardon me? How do you feel about the buggery?
He keeps his pinky raised at all times.
All right, then.
What ho! Federal agents have charged four Georgia men they say are part of a fringe militia group with plotting to attack government officials with explosives and the biotoxin ricin. Sally Yates... Oh, my God! It's Jesse!
Seriously.
Sally Yates of the Department of Justice says a government informant recorded the men discussing plans to manufacture ricin, a highly poisonous substance derived from castor beans. Militia.
This is militia one.
Ricin is a toxin such that if it comes in contact with your skin or if you breathe it in your lungs, it's deadly.
Yates says the FBI and law enforcement have been tracking the group for an extended period.
They had taken substantial steps such that it was important that they be arrested and be charged with crimes, but the public was never in any imminent danger.
That means the public was in lots of danger. That's exactly what that statement means. Ricin was what that Japanese cult guy used a few years ago.
In the subway?
On the subway, to gas all those people. Mm-hmm. So it makes you wonder exactly, I mean, I'm not saying that I would ever do it, but it makes you wonder if that's the sort of thing that maybe I myself, Rick Emerson, could make at home with just a night or two of study and helpful documents downloaded from the internet.
I don't doubt it in the least.
You should do that.
Okay. Me?
Yeah, maybe if you don't have anything planned for Hamfist or Radio today, just make some ricin.
No.
Okay. Or not.
Let's do our entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news for... I'll make sure I don't hit the raping sound effect there. That would be awkward. Here's your entertainment news for... what is today? Wednesday?
Yes.
Yes, Wednesday. Right here at... Legion of News. I am going to file that cut. Was he a sheriff? Who was that guy?
Who was he? He was the South Carolina sheriff, Chuck Wright, from Spartanburg County.
Sorry about the penetrating. I'm going to file that away for later use.
Lindsay Lohan got lucky. She was facing significant jail time going into today's probation violation hearing, but Judge Stephanie Stoutner only slapped her with 30 days in jail. Following her stint in the county jail, she must then perform 53 days of community service at the L.A. County Morgue over the course of 3 months. You need structure, Stoutner told Lohan, and this is a structure. After Lohan finishes her 30 days in jail, Stoutner clarified she would not serve house arrest. The actress will have to complete 12 days of community service at the morgue and 4 psychotherapy sessions by December 14th.
Like, that would even be enough to, I mean, seriously, I can't, how much would you pay just to sit there and just listen to Lindsay Lohan in a psychotherapy session? I'm telling you right now, that is, if you put, seriously, Mark Burnett, find some way to air that as a reality program, because I'll watch. I don't care if I have to get it on pay-per-view.
But this judge is the one who is just completely fed up with her, has definitely structured this. It's like she's got the 12 days of community service and 4 therapy sessions by December 14th, then 12 more days of service and 4 more sessions by January 17th, then 12 more days of community service and 4 more sessions by February 15th, and then finally 17 days of community service and 6 psychotherapy sessions by March 29th. If she successfully follows through with the court's demands, her probation will be terminated. If she violates any of those terms, she could be sent right back to jail. As Stoutner said during the hearing, the court is putting the keys to the jail in the defendant's hands.
But this is, I mean, so is it the judge's discretion? I mean, could she just say, like, you're going away for a year, like, right now?
Yeah,
because it seems like at this point she's exhausted the any leniency that the court might otherwise
You'd
have
think.
Had. Because she's sort of on this, just this treadmill of being told she has to do things and then failing to do things, and then she gets yelled at, and then they say this is your last chance, and then they tell her to do something, and then she does it once, and then she like flakes for the rest of it, and then they say this is your last chance. I mean, I think we've had a variation of the story like 8 or 9 times already.
Yeah, well,
that's frustrating. Yeah. There's no justice done. There's no law.
Jared Padalecki of Supernatural and his wife Genevieve are expecting their first child next year. He tweeted, "Okay, y'all, I'd rather you officially hear it from me. So yes, Genevieve is pregnant. We'll be welcoming a new member to our family in 2012.
Is this Jared Padalecki, formerly of the Gilmore Girls as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Jaleel White, Urkel from Family Matters, will host the sci-fi game show Total Blackout. The show, which starts production October 18th, has contestants competing in total darkness. There are big surprises. The biggest surprise will be the contestants' behavior, whether they maintain their composure or not, because the darkness brings out something in all of us.
I don't understand. The show is just putting Jaleel White in a dark room?
With some people. There's some people and a dark room, and then they have to do stuff.
Is he in a dark room with racists? I don't understand exactly. Where is the what is the thrill aspect of the we're going to put you in a dark room with Jaleel White. Anything could happen. What?
I don't know.
I don't understand. What network is this on?
Sci-fi?
What? No, seriously. This fall, Sci-Fi puts people in a dark room with Jaleel White. Don't miss it. What kind of show is that?
I'm there.
Okay.
Okay. The Book of Mormon is to be made into a film at some point, the writers have confirmed. Hopefully it will have a big run and a big tour, and then we can do the movie in several years, said Trey Parker. The multiple Tony winning comedy musical about a pair of Mormon missionaries in Uganda has been playing to sold-out houses, and a national tour is set to begin in Denver next summer. The great thing is, Stone said, a lot of Broadway teams would have to go team up with a Hollywood producer and bring on a Hollywood director, but Trey's a director and Scott's a great producer. We've all made movies, so it's kind of cool it can stay in the same family.
It'd be cool if they kept the same cast, too. I will say that that guy, Josh Gad, who plays the sort of bumbling sidekick, he plays the companion to Elder Price, is fantastic. Everybody else in the cast is good as well, but that guy is great. He really is fantastic.
It always seems a little bit unfortunate when, like, a Broadway play has a really big success and they make a movie and they have to have, like, a movie actor take over the role. It seems a little unfair, really.
I don't get the sense that these guys would do that, though. I mean, you know, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, they do seem to you know, they do seem to bring folks along with them that were there. You know, even like guys who were in Cannibal the Musical and stuff have gotten sort of continuing small parts in some of their projects. That's the next thing they need to do, is they need to take Cannibal the Musical and then port that over to Broadway. I'm telling you right now, that is money in the bank.
It's actually been, there is a stage production of Cannibal
the Musical.
There's a touring
Cannibal,
And high school productions, the high schools are putting it on, and it's...
And I did like Book of Mormon a lot, I really did, but I will say, I mean, pound for pound, Cannibal the Musical is, as much as I like Book of Mormon, pound for pound, Cannibal the Musical, I think, is better and funnier and has huge, huge potential, especially now. I mean, it's sort of like Mel Brooks. He can just take everything he's ever done and stick a score underneath it. But Cannibal the Musical already exists. It's already done. It's already written. The score is already finished. And plus, then Lloyd Kaufman can wet his beak.
Yes. So in response to reports that a 20-year-old California woman has filed a paternity suit against 17-year-old Justin Bieber, reportedly alleging the two had...
Sorry about the raping.
Reportedly alleging the two had sex backstage at one of his Los Angeles concerts when she was 19. The music star's rep has sent the following statement to Entertainment Weekly. And it's also full of capitalizations, random capitalizations, so it makes me wonder about his rep. While we haven't yet seen the lawsuit, it's sad that someone would fabricate malicious, defamatory, and demonstrably false claims. We will vigorously pursue all available legal remedies and defend and protect Justin against these allegations. She really had a real problem with the random capitalization.
Well, the woman is clear. I mean, I was going to say she's clearly nuts, but maybe not. I mean, it seems... Because the thing is...
He was 16, she was 19, he's famous, maybe she... I mean, do you really think he's not bunking groupies?
Well, I'm wondering if you were her, though, why you would admit that you engaged in statutory rape. If it were true.
Well,
if you're not
true.
Nuts. I mean, that's the thing. Put it this way, a guy could never do that. A guy could never...
Yeah.
A 20-year-old whatever guy could never say, hey, and I totally bunked the 16-year-old. Everybody, me, sex with a 16-year-old, I had it. Woo! I mean, you would never... I mean, he'd be in jail yesterday.
Now, is it... If she was 19 and he was 16, is it statutory rape in every state?
It is still... Yes, it is still statutory rape because she is... Because in some states, it has to do with the number of years, but in all states, if one is a minor and one is not, that is statutory rape. There is also... There's a whole thing about, like, if you're more or less than, like, 18 months apart in certain states, even if you're both minors, it can still be statutory rape. Like, if somebody's 17 and somebody's, like, 14. But in all states, the last time I checked, as I do whenever I travel across country, if the other person is under the age of majority, which he would have been by, I think, 3 years. So
yeah.
I think in any state it would be illegal. It's just, it's curious. Hey, we're way over time, but with all the rape talk. Hold on a second. There we go. Sorry about that. Rick Emerson regrets the error. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high over the milkpacking district in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon. The news desk, Dawn Taylor. Advanced technology and magic provided by Cyber Wizard Thomas Gill. Advanced technology and magic provided by Cyber Wizard Thomas Gill, who also runs our redundancy department. Executive producer Bruce Agler and Chief of Staff Cheryl Kanakoa. See you next hour for the Rick Emerson radio program. Have a safe and satisfying Wednesday, won't you?